Today we celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi Sunday. You know, every Christian denomination, by and large, believes that Jesus' death was prefigured by the Passover and by the sacrificial lamb that was offered. And that's why the Last Supper is connected to the Passover lamb. This is why Jesus' bones weren't broken on the cross like the other criminals, because the unblemished lamb, none of his bones were broken. So every Christian denomination believes this. But one thing that's very much missing from other Christian denominations is the idea of what happens at the end of the Paschal sacrifice. The lamb is consumed. This is missing unless you have the Eucharist. And the Paschal Lamb is Jesus Christ. Even from the beginning of the New Testament, St. John the Baptist points to Christ and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Later, Jesus would begin to shed light upon what would be part of his Paschal sacrifice, the consuming of his body and blood. He does this in John chapter 6 when he tells them that, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you." And he means a literal eating. They use the word in Greek that means to gnaw on flesh. For the Jews, this was too much. They thought he meant cannibalism, and so they walked away. The only ones who remained were the apostles, because the apostles had seen enough of Jesus, knew enough about him to know that they didn't fully understand, but there was something more at work here. And of course, it was in the Last Supper, which we have as the Gospel today, when it was made clear. When Christ took bread and said, "This is my body." Not that this is a symbol of my body, that this is a representation of my sacrifice, but rather that this is my body. He takes the cup and says, "This is my blood." And he has a commandment: "Do this in memory of me." And then we see, both in the road to Emmaus, we see in the writings of St. Paul, we see in the earliest writings of the Christians, in works like the Didache, or the works of Irenaeus, that this continued on. That they continued to take bread and declare that this is the body of Christ. Take wine, say this is the blood of Christ. And how does that happen? How is it then that we finish the sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb by consuming the body and blood of Christ? It's through the word transubstantiation. That while the bread and the wine maintain the appearance of bread and wine, the substance, what it really is changed into Christ himself. And that when we receive the body and blood of Christ, we truly are receiving the Paschal Lamb. We're truly receiving Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift that the world could ever receive. It's a gift that was unfathomable when it was first presented in the Gospel of John. And it took the great trust of the apostles. St. Peter, who said, "Where else would we go, Lord? You have the words of everlasting life." They trusted, even though they doubted. And then over the centuries, the church has been able to explain what it is that we're truly receiving, always knowing that it's the body and blood of Christ, but coming to greater knowledge of how it is possible for us in the form of bread and wine to receive the body and blood of Christ, reaching its culmination with the idea of transubstantiation at the hand of St. Thomas Aquinas, our most inspired theologian. So we join together around the table of the Lord to participate in the consuming of the Paschal Lamb. So now that we know what it is that we receive, we have to ask ourselves that important question: how do we receive him? Because that's the big question. If you're about to receive the great gift of the body and blood, soul and divinity of God himself, how do you even prepare for that? So often we come in so casually into contact with our Lord, but we really have to renew that spirit of wonder each and every time. That's one of the great things about the First Communion that we have each year at our parish and every parish around the country, and around the world. It is the wonder that is often present there in a second grader who has such a simple apprehension about what it is that he or she is about to receive. And we have to rekindle that in ourselves. So one way of doing that is to truly think each time that we come to Mass about what it is that we're going there for. Not to get our Sunday card punched, not because it's a ritual that we were taught by our parents, but rather to receive the greatest gift that we could ever receive, greater than anything else that we'll have in our lives, and is the source of every good thing. And that we really are attentive to the prayers and the readings that build up to the moment of reception of the Eucharist. That we examine ourselves before receiving the Eucharist, that we are not aware of any serious sin on our soul. Because St. Paul himself says that when we receive the body and blood of Christ unworthily, it goes from being the bread of life to the bread of death, because we've already closed ourselves off to the graces, and we're bringing Christ into a heart that has been made unable to receive him. So we examine that. And if we find ourselves over-scrupulous, it's helpful to know that you can't commit a mortal sin by accident. You have to know that it's seriously wrong, and then do it freely. So if there's any doubt, you can talk to a priest, but most likely, you're okay. But if we're aware that we have committed a mortal sin, we stay in our pew. It doesn't matter what other people think. It might be for any other reason. Maybe you forgot and you had that last potato chip right before you left the house. We can't judge those who don't go to communion. And then, after we receive communion, go back to our pew and pray with the Lord who's living within us. What an opportunity to have our Lord not just sitting in front of us like with the apostles, but actually to be within us and to be able to really listen to our hearts. When we go up to receive communion, we have to know how to do it properly. You know, there's two ways that are approved. The universal way to receive communion, the most ancient way, and the way approved universally in the church, is to receive on the tongue. By special permission in the United States and in some other countries, we can also receive on the hand. If you receive on the hand, there's only one way to do it. One hand over the other, because you're creating a cross and a throne for our Lord. You receive on the left hand, and then you take the Eucharist out of the left hand and place it on your tongue. It's best to do that immediately, because if you start to walk off, you're what Father Saunders calls a body snatcher, and we'll have to sort of go after you. So one of our great responsibilities is to really protect the Blessed Sacrament. So if people are walking away, we don't want to go after anybody because it's uncomfortable for everyone and everybody gets distracted, but we'll have to. So consume the Blessed Sacrament right there in front of us, or the Eucharistic minister, and then return to your pew. I understand that some people are holding a child or maybe have a cane, but I'll never give communion to somebody who has just a handout. For one thing, that's how I give people Tic Tacs. Although I don't, because I hate Tic Tacs, especially the green ones. I don't know why people have those. But I digress. So don't put your hand out just like you're receiving a Tic Tac. I'll just put it on your tongue then. The main reason is, not only because that is the way we receive just common things, and this is an uncommon reception, by putting our hands out as a cross, it makes it something different, but also because that's where the majority of drops that we have, because the transfer of trying to get that to your mouth is difficult. It's just physics. So in all those ways, if we receive both mentally and spiritually properly, and then the practical way that we're receiving physically properly, then we have that opportunity to really spend time with the Lord. We don't have to think about how we're going to receive or, you know, what we've been doing leading up to that point, because we've been concentrated. Now, also, even the great saints, I always tell this to people who confess distractions in confession, even the great saints dealt with distractions during Mass. So whenever we find ourselves distracted, just turn our attention back to the Lord. That's the best thing, because each of those times we do that, it's very pleasing to our Lord. Each time that we do that, it's an act of reconsecrating ourselves to that moment. And then, finally, when we receive the Blessed Sacrament, it should change who we are, at least in a small way. So when we walk out of the church, we should be able to be more patient with others. We should be able to overlook the faults of people, even in the parking lot, that might get on our nerves. We might be able to be more cheerful with our family and maybe even reach out to those that we've been estranged from. In some small way, we should change, because each reception of the Blessed Sacrament that is unworthily, with forethought, changes us into that which we consume. See, the Blessed Sacrament is the only thing we consume that rather than becoming a part of us, we become a part of Him. And the one that we become a part of is Jesus Christ Himself.